Spectrum Business keeps real businesses, like Rise Bakery, connected.
As a business owner, my Spectrum services help simplify my day. Everything we do is easier knowing that we've got a reliable connection. And it helps our business just run really smoothly. Even though our techniques are very ancient, we rely just as heavily on technology. Spectrum allows my business to go from surviving to thriving.
Keep your business running smoothly with Spectrum Internet, starting at $40 a month. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
Sometimes historic events suck. But what shouldn't suck is learning about history. I do that through storytelling. History That Doesn't Suck is a chart-topping history-telling podcast chronicling the epic story of America, decade by decade. Right now, I'm digging into the history of incredible infrastructure projects of the 1930s, including the Hoover Dam, the Empire State Building, the Golden Gate Bridge, and more. The promise is in the title. History That Doesn't Suck. Available on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Spiegel and Holmes.
Okay, here we go, sports fans.
Afternoons on the Score.
This is the Spiegel and Holmes show. He is Dan Wiederer. I am Mark Grody, so we are filling in today. The umpire makes the call. Umpires get calls wrong.
Let's role play this for a little bit. You be okay. Nico, and I'll be Derek Thomas.
Basically, what we do on a talk show, we're saying yes and...
Okay, hey, how's it going?
I just punched you out, third strike, and then
I thought you were actually hitting me.
Mark, it's your turn, Mark. It's your turn. Mark, you're lying.
Cut.
Take 87. And action.
Right guard, sports stick. Upside down. Upside down. Thank you.
Cut.
Pay attention.
All right, here we go. Here's the pitch.
So wait, the pitch is coming.
And you're Nico.
And I am Nico Horner.
And just so okay. You know, just for your brain,
okay.
You're not going to actually okay. See a pitch here in the studio, so it's going to be low and inside.
Okay.
All right, so here we go.
Okay. What? Am I supposed to do something else?
You say you're having a really bad day, sir. One more try.
I thought I was supposed to do it in my own way. Okay.
What a line.
I did not hit her. It's not true. I did not hit her. I did not. Oh, hi, Mark. Action.
What a line.
Here we go.
Okay, there we go. You're having a really bad day.
Turn around and walk away.
Okay. And that's that?
That's that.
Could have been extinguished that easily.
Funny story. The way I got into improv was, the story about me getting into improv was that I was walking down the street and a race car pulls up and the guy says, "Hey, you're funny. You're the funniest guy I've ever seen. Or my name is not Dale Earnhardt." And that was an improv. The real way was that I found a flyer.
The official adventures of Spiegel and Holmes, afternoons 2 to 6 on 670 The Score.
I come back stronger than ever today with a new partner. He is Anthony Herron. I'm Grody. He's Herron. We are in for Spiegel and Holmes.
Just one improv gone wrong and you run Wiederer up out of here?
That's all
he gets?
I was like,
he gets one crack at the improv?
Yeah, that's right. I wasn't ready for the improv out of the Wiederer at that very moment.
Viva la Wiederer. Bring that guy back here. I'd have been right there with you, Dan.
I knew that was coming back. I mean, I knew. I just didn't know exactly how it would be put together.
I mean, but if I've got you pegged correctly, you've seen the Three Amigos, right?
Of course.
Of course. Yes. So you've seen the line. I think it's Steve Martin is the character where it's like they don't know. Spoiler alert, Three Amigos. So they spend a lot of the movie not realizing they're actually in danger. So they're actors who think they're just portraying a part. So I got all these, you know, these pistoleros out there ready to take them down. There's one point where Steve Martin is calling for a line where he thinks he's just going through this scene with who else is in there? It was Martin Short,
uh-huh.
Chevy Chase, and Steve Martin.
Steve
it's
Martin,
like, you scum-sucking pigs. You sons of a motherless goat. Line. Yes. Just everybody's looking around like, wait, what do you mean line? This dude's got a gun in your face. What are you talking about? That's what immediately popped into my head when I heard that. Waiting on a line.
Do you watch The Office?
I really haven't.
Okay,
I mean, I know it exists.
There's an episode where Michael Scott does that. I think it's called The Deposition, where they're going through this very legal scripted stuff, and he doesn't know what he needs to say, and he shouts out, line. And they all look at him like, what? It is top two favorite episodes of The Office, that and Dinner Party. And you Office fans know exactly what I'm talking about. Still laugh out loud stuff every single time. We have all sorts of great stuff coming up on the show here today. He is Big Ant. I am Mark Grody.
We've got
coming up in just a little bit, we're going to have the manager of the Chicago Cubs, Craig Counsell, on the show after the Cubs 4-3 loss to the Phillies last night in an eventful game, to say the least, including the second straight ejection of the manager, Craig Counsell, this time arguing that Otto Kemp ran out of the baseline on an infield single with the game tied at 2 at the time. So I am most definitely looking forward to asking Craig Counsell about that and getting to the bottom of it and many other things just about that game. It was a beautiful game in terms of strategy and some of the stuff that was going on at the end of the game with the Phillies getting bunt hits where they were supposed to just be sacrifices. So it was a wild game last night. Unfortunately for the Cubs, it ends up being a loss for them last night. But we'll get to Craig here in just a little bit. Steve Stone. It's going to be on the show later on today. He will be on at 4 o'clock. Something that I'm seeing here on Twitter right now regarding the Bears, Anthony Heron, this is from Kevin Fishbane here, is the Bears are in the midst of having an OTA right now. I think people are speaking, and we will hear from Ben Johnson just a little bit later on.
That is not breaking news on the Score.
That is not breaking news.
There's an OTA, and people are speaking.
That is correct. Thank you. Will you be distinguishing what is not breaking news throughout the rest of this day?
The way it was presented was kind of like, oh, Kevin Fishbane on Twitter says that.
Well said. Well said. Touché.
I was expecting something big.
No, I still think this is pretty big.
Okay.
Because I think one of the worst things going on with the Chicago Bears right now is that Colston Loveland and Luther Burden have not been a part of what's going on. And I've seen it too many times where when rookies fall behind, they never catch up, or it takes them too long to catch up, and then they are not of consequence. So this, to me, is borderline breaking news. Bears head coach Ben Johnson expects rookie wide receiver Luther Burden to be good to go for training camp. He missed OTAs and minicamp with a soft tissue injury.
Breaking news on the Score is brought to you by Wildfire.
Whoa!
Join Wildfire restaurants as they celebrate 30 years of serving delicious food and creating memories.
So you've seen it my way now.
I have.
Now that I put it the way I put it in my own little way, you get where I'm coming from.
Yeah,
now, just because they say he's going to be ready for training camp doesn't necessarily mean, and is he going to have the easing in time? But isn't that, and we got a break here in a second, but isn't that nice to know that he's still on track? Because you know what I'm talking about, man. I mean, I got real evidence to show, Karan Amagaji, that when guys fall behind, they never quite Tevin Jenkins. They never quite recover. We've seen it too many times. So this is just nice to hear for me.
I agree. I think it is nice to hear. Yes, I certainly was not looking for anyone from the Bears to rush to the microphone and have to confirm it or clarify it. But yes, it is nice to hear that they do expect him available for training camp. That's a quality update by Fishy Business.
Quality update for sure. And we will have more Bears coming up later on. 4 o'clock hour. Is that our Bears hour? The 4 o'clock hour?
3 o'clock hour.
3 o'clock hour that we have designated the time during which to discuss a whole bunch of Chicago Bears. But coming up next, let's dig in to the Chicago Cubs. And in, like I said, an eventful game last night. The perfect person with whom to speak would be the manager of the Cubs, Craig Counsell. He joins us next right here on The Score.
Real businesses like Malibu Apothecary rely on Spectrum to keep them connected.
We're a fragrance company, but we also have a lot of technology that we use. Spectrum is really the backbone of any of the business we do here. Having a reliable, fast internet service that can fit my budget is really great. I traded a 9-to-5 for a 5-to-9. It's a lot of work, but I love it.
Spectrum Business Internet starts at $40 a month when bundled. Learn more at spectrum.com/business. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
Sometimes historic events suck. But what shouldn't suck is learning about history. I do that through storytelling. History That Doesn't Suck is a chart-topping history podcast created by me, Professor Greg Jackson. Listen to History That Doesn't Suck on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Manager number 11, Craig Counsell. Craig Counsell.
And when I'm on Sports Talk Radio, I learn that just keep talking, and that's helpful, right?
MLB veteran for 16 seasons.
Swing and a bouncer, shortstop, Counsell throws, got him! Counsell picked it up clean and threw a strike to first.
Two-time World Series champion.
His teammates call him Rudy. And Rudy has just tied game one of the 2001 World Series with a first inning home run.
Manager for your Chicago Cubs.
Call third strike.
Well, he just ran Nico.
Nico Hoerner gets tossed.
I mean, we never see Nico beef at the umpires.
And now Counsell has just been thrown out of the game.
Yeah, I mean, I'm not proud of it. I'm not going out there trying to get ejected. Obviously, I want to stay in that ball game and World Series. But yeah, it happened. I appreciate Counsell having my back, though. It's always really good.
Otto Kemp will lead off the bottom of the ninth inning. And he'll hit a high bouncer out in front of the plate. And the throw to first, not in time.
That'll be a base hit. Counsell is going to come out and ask about this play.
Counsell's been thrown out of the game.
Counsell just did not like the explanation, obviously, from Sherwater.
Maybe just been ejected for the second day in a row.
Craig Counsell with Spiegel and Holmes on 670 The Score.
I mean, it's what happens, man. Craig Counsell just gets ejected from games. That's the way it is. That is Cubs baseball.
We're somewhere in the multiverse now, where that's just the thing now that happens.
Basically, I guess. Man, it's been crazy. We got to calm things down here just a little bit. It is the Spiegel and Holmes show in today for the fellows who will eventually return. It is me, Mark Rohde, and him, Anthony Herron. We are here up until the start of Cubs pregame. The Cubs and the Phillies will rematch here today after the Phillies beat the Cubs 4-3 in a highly eventful game last night, and I am thrilled to bring in the manager of the Chicago Cubs, Craig Counsell. He joins us on the Circa Resort and Casino Hotline, CircaLasVegas.com. Craig, and I mean this when I ask this, how are you? Are you doing okay?
I'm doing great. It's a nice day in Tuesday in Philadelphia.
And it's been a wild couple of days for you, for sure, with back-to-back ejections. I guess take us through last night, what went down, what the argument was, what you were told, and why you were ejected.
Yeah, I mean, I thought there was interference by the runner running outside the baseline. Stu disagreed, and then I was ejected.
In what way?
Very simple.
In the position that Carson Kelly was in there, how does the way, because it feels like one of those gray areas that's there, that's kind of open to interpretation. So how was Carson Kelly's job made more difficult by the base runner?
Well, the runner is allowed, and if the runner is running on the grass, he is in violation. But because we completed the play, they deemed that there was no effect made on our fielders because Michael Carson eventually threw to first, Michael caught the ball. So there was, even though he was in violation of the rule, they judged that there was no interference.
It's unbelievable. But yeah, him saying that it didn't affect the play, but it acknowledging that he's out of the base path, shouldn't he just automatically be out? I mean, is that the discussion? And were you booted too fast without getting a further explanation, or should there have been more?
Well, yeah, I mean, there's no reason to debate, like, if I was thrown out too fast, that's, you know, who knows? That's his call. You know, I think the play was affected. I think that's what we're going to, you know, ultimately disagreed on, is that I thought our fielders were affected in the play, and the umpire thought our fielders were not affected in the play. So ultimately, that was the disagreement. You know, if Michael would have just dropped the ball, I think he would have been called out. That mm-hmm. seems ridiculous, but according to Stu, that's the rule. And so, yeah, that's how it went down.
So my my, I guess I'll call it my day job. Like, I'm the football guy here at the station, and so I spend a lot of time between my playing career and coaching the game and now analyzing it consistently, kind of breaking down mechanics of different officials in different positions in football. You know, where's the umpire stationed? Where's the back judge? Where's the head linesman? All these different things in them trying to execute their job. You don't have a week in between games like we tend to in the football space. Is there much conversation that plays out just talking about even just positioning of the umpire and whether or not they're just mechanically even in the right spot to interpret a call accurately?
No, there's really not. The umpires have a hard job, and the replay has made their job a little easier, but it's still a hard job. And there's a world of calls that are eligible for replay. There's a world of calls that are not eligible for replay. That's somewhat confusing and related to, frankly, like how fast we want the game to go. But, you know, there wasn't an issue with that on the play. It was more an issue of like just kind of interpretation of the play.
Yeah, and I most definitely want to get more into the game last night and some of the stuff that happened in the late innings. But you were ejected the day before as well, and that was on behalf of Ian Happ by Derek Thomas. What was your interpretation of all of that for Nico Horner and Nico Horner admitting that he told the umpire he was having a bad day?
I mean, it all speaks for itself. I mean, I think it's. There's no reason for me to add anything. You guys can all, it's perfect talk show radio. You guys can ask your guest, does that warrant an ejection? So you should have at it and have fun with it.
Oh yeah, we have. We've been heating it up pretty good, man. Well, I will ask you this though. I thought on Saturday, I will say, I laughed out loud on Saturday when that your dugout was chirping, and you don't have to say anything if you don't want, but the dugout was chirping. They were going after Doug Eddings, and Eddings kind of looked back at the dugout and basically said,
"I'll get better, but I'm not going to hear from you."
I'll get better. Did you pick that up, Craig? And did you at least think that that was funny and a good answer from Doug Eddings?
No, we didn't. The mics are better than our ears. So I mean, I knew he was, you know, there was chirping going on back and forth, and, which is fine. And you know, which is okay. It's part of it. Yeah, I mean, that's all we're asking. So I guess he gave the right answer. You know, we're just asking for as much as possible, the right pitches to be called. And, felt like some pitches early in that game were going against us.
Okay. All right. Well, I'm glad we were able to get through all that. We want you to – I don't know. There's some people who want to see – I guess there's a name for it when you get ejected from three straight games. What were they saying on the show before us?
That's, oh, turkey.
Oh, it's the turkey.
Bowling terms, in bowling parlance. You get three strikes in a row, it's a turkey.
Okay. Have you ever heard of the turkey?
Yeah, bowling term. Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. Yeah, they flash it on like the screen, like at the bowling lanes.
Oh, okay.
You know, they have a big turkey up there.
There,
yeah.
There you go. All right, all now, right.
Have you?
I mean, you've never done that, probably. That's all you.
No, that's true. You got me there, and I have never been ejected from a Major League Baseball game either. That's why I'm so interested in it.
And in comparing sports, because that's where my brain tends to go. I think, like in football, you can say awful things to a ref on the sideline during the football game. In basketball, they're spitting on the guy accidentally. In baseball, it's just like the world we've always kind of been in baseball, where you have to be very, like, they're very rigid about how you approach them, what you can announce, what you can question, and all these things. You're a fairly analytical guy, seemingly. Do you go into these interactions knowing sometimes, all right, there's a chance he might run me here?
Yeah, I mean, I think, you know, really yesterday I was just trying to get an answer on the play. You know, that exclusively that. I was just trying to understand the reason for the call and trying to, you know, sometimes you're just asking that they also that they confer with each other. Like, because I still think, you know, four guys look at the play, maybe just something, you know, and obviously they're going to tend to back each other up, which is normal, but I think it could a better answer come if four guys thought about it than one guy. And I think that's pretty reasonable to ask. You know, but you know, they if they don't walk up to you immediately, you know, if they don't come to you immediately, they're probably not going to overturn one of their own guy's calls, and that's frustrating a little bit, because I think the goal should be to get it right. I think both teams want that. But yeah, baseball's got its own kind of strange culture around that part of it. And I was thinking, I was thinking about that with Nico. It was like, can you imagine an NBA player getting ejected for saying that to an NBA ref? I mean, that's like a compliment. I mean, it's a nice, you know what I mean?
I don't know. I'm a little conflicted on that one. Like, to have, like, you're this umpire, and you got somebody looking bad. Like, maybe you are having a bad day, but then somebody tells you you're having a bad day.
But by comparison to other sports, though, like, what we're allowed to say and yell and scream and football.
I guess maybe that's literally because of the speed and the adrenaline with which the game is being played, maybe. I don't know. I guess maybe baseball lends itself. Maybe it's baseball's fault, Craig.
It is. Yeah, we got a lot of problems.
Where do you stand? Because Mark had an opportunity to talk to Nico about the whole situation from the previous game yesterday. I really love Nico's answer about just the idea of sort of the robot ump, you know, persona, and whether or not balls and strikes would get called. And Nico had a really thoughtful answer about the role of the catcher and pitch framing and how there's a skill involved in that. You've obviously gotten to evaluate all this stuff as play and manager and everything. Now, where do you stand on just the continued evolution of how much technology gets involved in umping the game?
Yeah, I mean, it's a place that I'm really torn. I mean, I think, you know, I do think sports in general, like the human element to it, we got to just be careful. I mean, why the emotion of sports is kind of what we love. So it's a big part of what we love about sports. So I think we just have to be careful of when we're starting to chip away at that. But, you know, on the same side, I think, you know, some of the systems they've come up with, maybe of the challenge system, I think is entertaining. It will be entertaining for fans. I think fans will really enjoy it. But I think the emotion of the game, like, we got to be really careful that we don't kind of put technology at the forefront and at the expense of emotion, right? And I think that's going to, because that's what we all fall in love with sports for. I'm hesitant sometimes when these great technological advances come through that we run into them.
I'm guessing Craig would have finished the game, though, if it was a cyborg as the ump. I don't think they would have gotten all sensitive about Craig saying to ask for help.
That's the whole thing, though, here, is that if we had robot umpires, we wouldn't be getting to talk to Craig Counsell about his favorite topic, and that is being ejected in back-to-back games. So,
I mean, who wouldn't it be their favorite topic about that?
Yeah. It's part of the concoction, isn't it, Craig? This is good baseball talk, right?
Yeah, it's good radio talk. Absolutely.
Yes. I love that you make that, you do the distinguishment between those two things. That's so great. I actually do want to take you to the 11th inning of last night's game, and I know that you were not out there managing, but it was kind of a wild inning because you had the bunt single that was trying to move a guy over, followed by an Otto Kemp bunt single, which was probably another sacrifice situation that loads the bases before the game-winning hit. What did you think about that inning? Was there any way that it could have been defended better or could have done anything differently in that spot?
Well, I think I would say...
Real businesses like Malibu Apothecary rely on Spectrum to keep them connected.
We're a fragrance company, but we also have a lot of technology that we use. Spectrum is really the backbone of any of the business we do here. Having a reliable, fast internet service that can fit my budget is really great. I traded a 9-to-5 for a 5-to-9. It's a lot of work, but I love it.
Spectrum Business Internet starts at $40 a month when bundled. Learn more at spectrum.com/business. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
History That Doesn't Suck is a legit, seriously researched, hard-hitting history podcast told through entertaining stories. Listen to History That Doesn't Suck on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Look, they made two great bunts off a guy throwing 100 miles an hour. So I think hats off to both of those guys for doing that. I think I would say if you're laying out in an expected bunt situation, we still have to get an out in at least one of those. You know, that's you know, what I would tell our guys and what we did tell our guys. And so you got to give them some credit. They did execute tremendously well against a very difficult pitcher to bunt against. And so I, you know, sometimes you tip your hat and you have to. The other side is trying to beat you. But, you know, there is a place that we can execute and learn from in that situation. I mean, we still would have been up against it pretty good to try to keep runs off the board there, but that's probably something we could have done better.
And then some one good thing from the game before it gets away from me, defensively last night, several assists. Kyle Tucker throwing out Edmundo Sosa trying to take second in the second. I'll throw in Matthew Boyd's pickoff in the third, even though he had one throw away as well that led to a run. Ian Happ throws out the Castellanos throw in the eighth inning. These guys kept on thinking that they could take second base. What did that defense mean to you? What does it mean to you in general? Because the defensive metrics are pretty good for your team this year.
Yeah, this road trip we had a game in Washington where we had two outfield assists. I mean, you get two outfield assists in a game and your outfield's doing something really good. So, you know, defense is a big part of our success. We are not a high strikeout team, and so the ball is going to be in play, and that means, you know, converting outs, finding outs somewhere out there is crucial for us. So, you know, I think we'll continue to play good defense. It's going to be really imperative that we do, and it's been a big reason that we're off to a pretty good start.
So bases loaded, bottom of the 11th, tie game, and no outs. You're in the clubhouse. You're not able to be out there making these decisions. And just from a situational perspective, again, just kind of going to my football brain where there's a week in between to prepare for every conceivable scenario that may come up on a Sunday. I'm watching that play out last night thinking, all right, so Craig's not out there. But everyone seemed ready, seemed prepared to go. There's the, you know, the conversation with the ump just to make sure we can shift in the way we prefer to shift in this moment. How much time are you able to spend just on all these individual situations that may come up, especially on the odd chance you might not be there to make the call?
Yeah, I mean, that's something, you know, there's like specific preparation, and then there's just kind of the conversation that, you know, goes through a game where the situation kind of doesn't happen. But a lot of times what we're talking about in the dugout is, if this happens, what are we going to do? If this happens, what are we going to do? And if you keep going over the scenarios, when they happen, you're ready for them. And so I think that's what a lot of time in the dugout is spent doing, a lot of conversation with your bench coaches spent and pitching coach is spent on, so that when situations arise, you've already kind of had the discussion of what's going to happen. And so, you know, Ryan was really prepared for that last night and did a great job getting the infielders in. And unfortunately they hit a ball pretty good.
A lot of folks talking about Ryan Flaherty for other jobs that may end up coming open or that might already be open out there. Situations like that didn't look overmatched in the least. He was kind of ready to handle everything. It was impressive.
Absolutely. And, yeah, he's this is year two for him, and he's doing a heck of a job. And just from a coaching staff perspective, I think Tommy Hotovy is doing a heck of a job. Our pitching has been, you know, really, really solid. And we've preached, because of our kind of lack of strikeouts, just getting ahead in the count, and it's really bearing some fruit, and we're among the leaders in the league at doing that.
Yeah, Craig, you guys, Colin Ray going tonight for you guys, Shota Imanaga through yesterday. I got the numbers in front of me. You know, two innings, did not allow a run, one hit, four strikeouts over his two innings. What can you tell us after that, and where we might be with Shota Imanaga and his potential return?
Yeah, I mean, so Shota's got a couple more starts before you're going to see him in Chicago, and that's because we, as a starter, you got to go through this process where you're lengthened out and you recover, where your arm recovers. Otherwise, we're making you really susceptible to injury. So he'll start again in Arizona on his next turn, and then we'll go on from there. But you know, he definitely has two more. Kind of rehab appearances before we're looking to see him in Chicago.
And you guys continue to get quality starts, or really lean on guys that maybe you weren't expecting to lean on this year. And I keep on making the point that it kind of went from this novelty where you're getting these great starts from guys like Colin Ray and Matthew Boyd that you didn't necessarily know what you were going to get. And now you have to get these starts out of these guys or you guys would not be 14 games over 500. What have you thought about Matthew Boyd and his last couple of starts last night? Maybe gets lost in the shuffle of a crazy game. And then, you know, he had five perfect innings in his outing previous to this.
Well, I think Matthew's been, you know, just solid. And maybe that's even too light of a compliment. But he's been excellent. He's been consistent, super effective. He's been efficient in getting us deep into games, which is a kind of related to getting the bullpen successful. So all of those things, you know, it was a great job by our evaluative crew and Jed and to bring on a pitcher who's, you know, really one of the better free agent signs of the winter.
And then one more pitcher question from me, at least, and that is Ryan Presley last night came in the seventh, 2-1 Phillies, got a couple of guys on, but he struck out the last two, including Kyle Schwarber, where he got him swinging on that high fastball, 95 miles per hour. And I don't know if he'd been hitting that high velocity-wise. It feels like he's been, like Presley has been ramped back up well after having some sluggish times early on. Do you expect to keep putting Presley in those spots, or do you think he could get down the line a shot in the ninth, which I know has been going to Palencia lately?
Well, I think what's important is that we just put zeros up when we, you know, so let's just keep putting zeros up as much as we can. Ryan's done a heck of a job. You know, he came back from a poor outing and just one where, and he's really around that one outing. He's been really, really good. So that's what we need. And I think all our guys in the bullpen right now are pitching really well. And that's all related in terms of, you know, the length the starters are giving us and the effectiveness of each one of the relievers. So just put up zeros, get outs, hand the ball to the next guy, and we'll add up to 27 and we'll add up to a win.
Over the past week, you know, the best offense in baseball, the numbers haven't necessarily been there over the past week. Is there any consistent refrain or a trend you're noticing that might concern you here over the past week?
Probably Tarek Skubal and Zach Wheeler. you know, that's the thing you notice. And look, those guys, when you face these guys, like, you can go around the league and pick the best offenses in the history of the game. You're gonna score less runs. You know, and you're gonna have to win close games. And fortunately, we've been on the wrong side of some close games against both those guys. And that's just the nature of it, man. You gotta just keep going and. No, we're going to face Skeens this weekend, and we're going to have to play the same game. So you just got to get a little bit better and be a little bit tighter with everything. But it's tough. You're not going to put up big numbers against those guys. It's a very rare day when you do.
I believe it might have been Craig Counsell who once said that home runs come in really handy against those types of guys, right? I mean, that's kind of the way it starts. Kyle Tucker with a homer, because you're not going to get a lot of three or four or five hit innings, right, Craig?
And Ian,
they don't give up four hits in an inning. They just, you know, they just don't. That their pitch quality and their stuff is, and their execution is just too high of a level for that to happen.
Let me sneak in one college baseball question with you, Craig, because the College World Series is upon us this week. So me covering the Big Ten, UCLA is now representing the Big Ten, but you're a Midwest guy, born and bred. Your son's playing ball in the Midwest, you know, both initially at the Big Ten, now one son at Kansas. But the evolution that I've been talking about with a lot of folks on my Big Ten radio show is whether or not the calendar for college baseball is going to be shifted in a way that benefits folks who grow up and then play college baseball in the Midwest. You experienced it yourself. Now a couple of sons are doing it right now, too. What's your impression of just kind of how the schedule plays out for college baseball and whether or not there is something that could be beneficial? If it's just like 2 or 3 weeks later, it feels like that would level the playing field.
Yeah, as much as anything from a spectator perspective, that's why you'd love to see the season move back a little bit. And it's just a weather thing, you know. The fans, baseball is—it's tough to watch baseball in cold weather. And I think it's meant to be watched in warm weather because of the kind of it's a slower paced game. And so in the Midwest and in these Big Ten schools at a Iowa or at a Minnesota, like you got to get to May and June before you're going to want to sit outside for 3 hours and enjoy a baseball game when it's meant to be enjoyed. So I would be a big fan of it. It would be a huge deal for, Northeast and Midwest baseball. Absolutely.
I like it. I like thinking about sunshine, which I see outside of our studios right now. And Craig, I just want you to know, as we let you go, we are rooting for you. We are rooting for you.
We can make history happen.
Yeah.
Today.
No, I don't know. I don't know. Anthony seems to want you to be ejected. I want you to stay in the game tonight.
There has been a Cubs manager that has been ejected 3 consecutive games.
There hasn't been, or has?
There has.
Who?
Is it Lou Piniella? Yeah. That's my guess. Lou Piniella?
Frankie Frisch. Nice Ooh. Try.
Frankie Frisch. Yeah.
Wait a minute. Frankie, I don't, when did he manage the Cubs? What year was it, Craig? If you're going to do this.
Going down this rabbit
Yeah,
hole,
if you're going to go down this rabbit, you got to give me a year or a decade.
Like late 40s, early 50s.
Oh, okay. I think old Ed Harding might have told you
that. The well-known Frankie Frisch era.
Yeah. Who told you that? Was it Coomer? Who told you that?
I've had several people, actually.
Okay.
It's around, you know?
We're the only ones they don't know, apparently.
Yeah, right. All the cool kids know all about Frankie Frisch.
Craig, you're the best man. Honest to God, if you do get ejected, will you come on the afternoon show again tomorrow?
Yeah, I will. Absolutely.
Okay.
Yes, I will.
Mark
I will.
That down.
That's why we're safe.
Thanks, Greg.
See you later, you Greg. It. Oh, man. It's going to be like watching the Hulk. I hope somebody pisses him off.
Yeah, right.
Somebody make him mad. He can't control himself. He's going to get ejected.
He's going to look at Ryan Flaherty. That's my secret, Flats. I'm always angry. He's going to rip his shirt off.
Just walk around prodding him. Oh, man. That was really fun. Good talk with Craig Counsell. I thought we handled all different levels of Craig right there.
Oh, I thought we botched it horribly. Oh.
We dropped
the ball.
You're having a bad day. If it was bad, guess what we've got coming up next?
We have
brand new Ben Johnson Chicago Bears audio coming up next for you on The Score.
Spectrum Business keeps real businesses, like Rise Bakery, connected.
As a business owner, my Spectrum services help simplify my day. Everything we do is easier knowing that we've got a reliable connection. And it helps our business just run really smoothly. Even though our techniques are very ancient, we rely just as heavily on technology. Spectrum allows my business to go from surviving to thriving.
Keep your business running smoothly with Spectrum Internet, starting at $40 a month. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
Sometimes historic events suck. But what shouldn't suck is learning about history. I do that through storytelling. History That Doesn't Suck is a chart-topping history-telling podcast chronicling the epic story of America, decade by decade. Right now, I'm digging into the history of incredible infrastructure projects of the 1930s, including the Hoover Dam, the Empire State Building, the Golden Gate Bridge, and more. The promise is in the title. History That Doesn't Suck. Available on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.